Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? I say that so often because it always is so refreshing. And also it's a surprise. You know, we're surprised by the Holy Spirit every time. The kids can be dismissed. We're surprised, I think, by the Holy Spirit every time that we encounter him. And as I've said before, when we get into his presence, we're reminded of not only who he is, but we're also reminded of who we are, that we're his sons and we are his daughters. And so it's good to be in his presence. Thank you very much. So there's a couple of announcements today. We're going to, first off, let you know that Pastor Bob is actually pretty sick right now. So we're going to pray for him today. We're not going to pray right now. We're going to pray at the end. But he's pretty sick. He actually has pneumonia. So he's fighting pneumonia right now. And then also Pastor Eric is actually out of town. They're actually on vacation right now. So at the end of our time together, we're going to take some time and pray for actually for both of them. And also we're actually going to pray for the sick today and at the end of the service. So, but I want to give you some announcements before I begin to share with you today. First one is that we're still in the middle of we're right in the middle. Today is the 15th, right? So we're right in the middle of 31 days of prayer. And so this month is really an entire month of encouraging us as a community, but also for us individually, that we would really press into God's presence and actually take the time and our resources and our energy, and we would really get into God's presence and we would begin to pray. It's kind of a novel idea. I know we talk a lot about prayer, and Christians talk a lot about prayer, but there's a couple practices, kind of the Christian practices, that so often that we, in our busy life, we actually kind of set over to the side. And one of them is prayer, and the other one is reading God's word. And I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty this morning, but I am saying that to let you know that that's what the followers of Jesus do. Followers of Jesus, they pray. Followers of Jesus, they read God's word because it's really important to them. And so one of the things we're doing this month, we're doing a lot of things this month for prayer, but we're spending 31 days of focused prayer together. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later on, some of the tools that we put together for you so that you can pray and learn to pray effectively. The other thing is our sacred assemblies are still happening on Wednesdays. So if you haven't come on Wednesday, you've missed two, but there's two more. Okay. Oh, let me tell you this too. So we also have the prayer guide. There's a prayer guide that's available. It's on your way out this morning. There's a prayer guide. There is a prayer focus for every day, literally 1 through 31. There's also a prayer blog that's actually being put out every single day, and that helps to explain a little bit about the prayer focus. So we're trying to put together a lot of tools that will help us to pray. Now, let me tell you this. If you haven't started, today's day 15. Don't worry about it. Forget about day 1 through 15. You can start today. Okay, so you can start today and you can begin to get in on the 31 days of prayer today. So don't worry about that. And then also want to let you know there's a new website. Some of you have been to the new website, therivers.org. You can look up kind of our new website. It's in beta mode right now. So we're testing out some things. There's some things that aren't on there yet. So if you click on them, you're going to find out that some of them actually just don't work. And so we're trying to put them together and trying to make it a little bit more user-friendly. But if you have any suggestions also for our site, let me know and we'll make sure that we try to implement some of those really good suggestions. And then also there's a children's ministry meeting happening on Saturday the 21st. And I believe it's here at the church at 10 a.m. And so if you're part of children's ministry, that includes you, all the teachers, helpers, overseers, that we have in the children's ministry. One last thing is we have some new office hours at the church. They'll be Tuesday through, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 to 3. So I think the office hours used to be 10 to 4 and they were Wednesday and Thursday. Now it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 9 to 3. All right. Okay. Announcements. Announcements are always one of those things in church that we do, but they're always like awkward. Don't they feel a little awkward to you? Let's be honest, right? Yeah, they're always a little awkward. But anyway, okay. So then the last one I want to highlight for you is the Sanctity of Life Sunday. Sanctity of Life Sunday is actually today, a day that we nationally recognize really the sanctity and the preciousness of human life, not only the unborn, but also those that are elderly. We appreciate life. Because Jesus appreciates life, right? He loves life. Jesus is the author of all life. And so in our prayer time today, also I want to make sure that you, in our groups later on today, we're going to take a time to pray that God would just release an encouragement across our nation in regards to just life. Did they not get those? Oh, yeah. Go ahead and pass them out. That'd be fine. So Marlene and others are going to pass these out. While they're passing them out, I want you to do this. Why don't you stand? Why don't you greet somebody that you haven't seen yet or haven't said hi to yet? Maybe greet two or three people, and then we'll get started with the message, all right? Okay, go. Break. Begin a series that's entitled Praying with Confidence. Praying with confidence. I think one of the greatest in our prayers. We lack confidence in what prayer is just in general. And so I want to hopefully be able to convince you by the time we're done today that you can pray more effectively and you can have more confidence in your prayer, then you and I will pray more. Okay? And I think, again, that's because most of the time we don't pray because we're lacking confidence. I really want to encourage you over the next 4 weeks to really make the effort to come on Sunday, because there's going to be some really, I believe, life-changing information that I'm going to share with you, but then also I believe some life information that the Holy Spirit wants to share with you, and also there's going to be a life-changing transformation that God wants to do in you. And that's in regards to prayer. That if we'll get a hold of prayer, I believe that we can be an incredibly different people and a different kind of people. Prayer really changes everything, starting with you, starting with me. It changes everything. And so first I want to just share with you a story about effective prayer. When I was a young man, and I was a youth leader, many years ago, oh, thank you very much. It was my birthday. I turned 40. I'm lying. Really? So I was a young man and I was a youth leader. And so I was a youth leader at a very large church, thousands of people. There were probably 3,000 or 4,000 people at this large church. And so we had a really large youth group. There was about 400 kids in our youth group. And so we, of course, like every youth group, we went to summer camp. And this year it was time to go to summer camp, and I was administrating a lot of kind of the details of summer camp and, you know, the games and the messages and the worship that happens and the food. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff when you have 400 young people going to a summer camp. And so I was working really, really hard. The problem is I worked a little bit too hard and I got really, really sick, really sick. And so just before it was just a day before we were to actually get on the bus and go to the camp, I was literally so sick, I was in bed. And I was just, it was just not going to happen. I was just not going to make it to this youth camp. And I remember at that point being so sick, probably one of the sickest times that I've ever been. And I remember thinking, I don't even care about going to any camp right now. I just feel sick. You know, when you feel that sick where nothing else matters? It was one of those times. And so, I called up the youth pastor that oversaw all of the youth. I was just one of the youth leaders. And the youth pastor said, well, how about if I come over and I pray for you? You ever been really sick and someone says, well, how about if I come and pray for you? Well, there are times, now let's be really honest, when you're sick and someone says, I want to pray for you, you're just like, leave me alone. I just want to be sick. I'm sick and I want to be sick, and your prayers are really not going to do much because I'm already sick. So that's what I felt like, but I didn't say that to him. Of course, he was the youth pastor and I was supposed to be a growing youth leader. And so I remember Cindy and I, we said, sure, come on over to the house. His name was Jerry. Jerry came over to the house and I was in bed. I was so sick that I didn't get out of bed for him to come. I was in bed. And he comes over to the bed as much as I can possibly remember. And he comes over and he says, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get healed. And I thought, wow, he has a lot of faith. I don't. I'm feeling sick and just want to throw up all over him, actually. So, so he laid his hand on me. I was in the bed. I remember him laying his hand on me and he said some awkward prayer. It wasn't all of a great religious prayer. It wasn't anything wonderful. Probably something like, you know, Ray, be healed in Jesus' name. You know, get up out of this bed. We got to go to youth group. You know, it was probably something simple like that. And I remember, as soon as he laid his hand on me, I remember feeling something. I thought, wait a minute. I'm feeling a little different. And I'm thinking, well, no, this is just me. This is just something going on in my head that I'm feeling a little better. So I told him, I said, well, I feel a little different. And he said, and I remember him saying, yeah, that's because you're going to get healed. And I remember thinking, what? You know, what is this guy all about? So he prayed for me again, if I remember right. He prayed for me again, and I don't know what he said that time. But as he began to pray, I started to feel a lot better, and I was really, really sick. And so I got so well within just a few minutes that I literally got up and out of that bed. Cindy made me something to eat, and just then I felt so good that then the next day I went off to youth camp as though I was just strong as ever. And so what this showed me is that there's power in prayer. I mean, as a young man, it showed me there really is power in prayer. I mean, it really did surprise me. Don't let me kind of lead on that I was like full of faith and I knew I'd be healed. I wasn't expecting it, nor do I really think I wanted it, to be honest with you. I kind of just wanted to be sick. But he came in saying, no, you're going to get well. Let's pray. Let's pray the effective prayer. You know, and the Bible says the effective prayer of a righteous man, it does a lot of things. It's really, really powerful. And so what I realized is, wow, he really believed that I was going to be healed. He agreed with God that healing is possible, and then healing happened. I thought, wow, that's really incredible. And so prayer is one of those things that is a powerful, powerful thing. There's a great preacher during the 1800s. His name was Charles Spurgeon. And he said this about prayer, about powerful prayer. He said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty. And so when we pray, it's like touching that nerve and it moves the hand of a powerful, incredible God that we serve. Now, the problem that we face is that prayer much of the time feels like kind of a mysterious or a mystical thing, something that we really can't tangibly get a hold of. And a lot of us, I think, at times feel like praying is almost like making a wish. Kind of like just making a wish, hoping that something might happen. And so it becomes really intangible, this thing that we kind of just speak out into the air. And one thing that I remind myself over and over again about prayer is that prayer is not just speaking to the air like you would make a wish, but prayer is speaking into the very heart of God Himself. And that's really important for us to realize as we pray. We're not just speaking into the air. It's not just empty words. The words that we pray don't just like dribble off our mouth and then just fall onto the ground. But we literally pray into the heart of God Himself. One of my earliest memories, I remember when I was either 5 or 6 years old, and I remember I was at my grandparents' house, and it was my birthday. It was either my 5 or 6 year old birthday. And I remember that I don't remember if it was my mother or my grandmother had made a cake for me. And this was an incredible cake. It was a zoo cake. And I remember all the little plastic monkeys and plastic animals that were on this incredible birthday cake. And as a 5 or 6 year old, I got to stand in front of this cake and it was amazing. And you know, the awe of seeing this is my cake, my zoo cake, my animals on my zoo cake. This is mine. And I remember standing in front of that cake, but all the presents were mine, the presents that I was going to get. But not only was the cake mine and the present mine, all the presents, but also there was this other thing that they did. They said, we're going to light these candles and you're going to make a wish and you get whatever you want. Now, as a 5 or 6 year old, That's awesome. That is awesome. You get whatever, all you got to do is wish for it, right? You just wish. And then you blow out the candles. And once you blow out the candles, the wish is yours. Okay. Well, what I learned after a few years of this birthday thing is that this whole wishing thing is really a big scam. Really? It was a big letdown, right? It was a big letdown. This wishing thing really isn't real. And I didn't really know till later on, a few years later, that those things weren't going to come true. What they told me, that I get whatever I want, wasn't real. And I think sometimes we think of prayer that way. We think of prayer as, well, if I just, it's just a wish. I'm going to wish it out there. And a lot of times, maybe those wishes come true, but, you know, most often, if we're really honest, they just don't come true. They're just wishes, you know, blowing in the wind. And so for many people, the same way that the birthday wishes seem like a scam, for many people, prayer seems like a scam. Really? And that's Christian people. Talking about Christian people, that's us. That the wishes feel like a scam. Well, maybe the prayer thing is kind of like that, and it feels kind of like a scam too. Well, John, the disciple of Jesus, said this in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. He said this. He said, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. Wow. Really? Really? This is in your book, the book that you have, either electronic or the Bible that you have. I didn't make this up. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So the disciple John says, you can go to Jesus, you can go to the Father, and if you come before him, or you can come before him with confidence, if you come before him asking for those things that God, do you see that it says according to his will? So in other words, we can come with confidence to God and ask anything if it's what God already wants. See, does that make sense to you? See, rather than making a wish of just what's out there, all of a sudden, prayer has changed to a whole nother dynamic. And I think much of this has not been taught in the church. This idea that we can come asking whatever as long as it's already what God wants. It's not you can just come asking whatever. And much of the church has taught that you can just name it and claim it. And if we have it, and if you name it, in faith, if you name it hard enough, you're going to get it. If you wish hard enough, if you blow out all the candles, it will come true. And the reality is, it doesn't work. The reality of Scripture says that we can come with confidence approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, if we can ask anything that God wants to be done, that he'll do it. If it's what he wants to be done. See, prayer is not about getting God to do what you or I want done. This is really important. Really important. Prayer is not about getting God to do what you want done. It's about God using your prayers to get done in the world what he wants to do. Isn't that different? So different. It releases you is what it does. It releases you from this thing of like, man, this sucks. I was always taught that prayer works. And we go about it as though it's the wishing thing. And it just doesn't. But there's a whole nother approach to prayer, a whole different paradigm, which is a whole different way to see prayer and understand prayer. That if I enter into what God already wants, then that's what God's going to do. All right? See, the reality is that it's not about you. It's not about me. We say that all the time. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about him. And the wonderful thing is that it's not about you, but we know that it's all about him. And because it's all about him, he makes it all about you. That's amazing. See, that's the paradox of the guy, of the God. That guy. That's the paradox of the God that we serve, is that it's all about him. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. But when I make it all about him, he makes it all about me because he loves me so much. He's an incredible father. Well, there are two purposes to prayer, two kind of basic purposes to prayer. And one of them is connection, all about connecting to God, and which is all about intimacy. And then there's intercession, to see things change, which is really all about results. And so the first part of prayer is about connecting. See, God loves you so much, he doesn't need you to pray. He doesn't need you to accomplish what he wants to do. It's already what he wants to do. You're just agreeing with what he wants to do. So he doesn't need that, but he wants that. And he's put that principle in place so that we'll come into relationship with him. So he says, hey, if you'll come into relationship with me, if you'll agree with me on these things that I already want to happen, then we're going to build a really cool relationship together. We're going to build a really intimate family type relationship, because you're coming into my presence and we're going to talk about these things together. We're going to talk about what I want to do in your life, and you're going to learn to begin to agree with those things that are really amazing that I want to have happen in your life. See, that's what it's really all about. And so that connection with God is that place where we grow in this incredible passion for Jesus. If you're lacking passion for Jesus, then just step into his presence a little bit. Just a few minutes a day. Maybe then press in a few minutes more the next day. And a little bit more the next day. And your passion for Jesus will grow, because his passion for you will be revealed to you. And when I step into God's presence, all of a sudden I go, oh God, you love me so much. And because he loves me so much, then my heart just expands. Because I realize how much he loves me, my heart expands, and then I have the capacity to love him. I'm getting excited. Are you excited? Because that's an awesome story right there. The awesomeness, the greatest, one of the greatest gifts, is God expanding your heart so that you could love him. That's an incredible gift that God gives to us. I love that gift. I absolutely love that gift. To think that all I have to do is get near him. It's like getting near Daddy. Getting near to him. And as I press close to him, then all of a sudden I go, man, I am his absolute favorite. I am, man, am I awesome? Woo! Because we all are. We're all his favorite, however that works. And so as you press near and you get close to him, he reveals to you how incredible you are. And then as he reveals how incredible you are, again, it expands your heart. See, our hearts are shut down most of the time. Our hearts are shrinking most of the time because we don't understand the love of the Father. We don't understand the purposes of God. We don't understand the plans of God. We don't even understand God. And so we have this shrinking, shriveling, dying, decaying heart. But when we get in his presence, this idea of connecting with him to know God, then my heart is made alive and it's regenerated and it's revitalized and it's made new again and it's expanded. And like I said, the capacity of my heart to love him grows where it wasn't there before. The other aspect of it is all about intercession. Intercession is all about entering into the and agreeing with the purposes of God to see things changed in our world and made different in our world. And it's about the results of God, the results of God, the results of his kingdom being manifest all around us. That's what intercession is. Saying, God, I agree with you. I'm going to enter into this so that the results of your kingdom, the results of heaven would take place here on earth. That's what I'm interceding for. That's what I'm doing as I intercede. I'm standing. I'm the go-between heaven and earth. And I'm interceding to bring what is in heaven down to this earth where it's needed. That's what I'm interceding for. I'm interceding for those things, the things of heaven that are absolutely wonderful, the things that are in heaven that are absolutely beautiful, the things of heaven that are absolutely lovely. And I'm interceding for those things of heaven to touch down here on earth in my life, in your life, in the life of our church. Maybe it's the person at the grocery store, the gas station, or my neighbor. I'm praying, God, would you bring heaven, the things of heaven, down to this place? And so I stand as a go-between. You stand as a go-between those two places, those incredible places that we say, God, have your will. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let it come. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. And so in those moments of intercession, it's not about right words. It's not about spiritual language. So often we think, well, maybe there's a formula to it. There's not. It's all in the heart. It's all about our heart that says, God, I just want more. I want more of you. I want more of what's in heaven to come and interact with my family. I want more of your presence and your goodness and your rulership, which is what the kingdom of God is. When we talk about the kingdom and the kingdom of God, it's the rulership of God. God, I want your rulership to be manifest in my family. I want your rulership to be manifest here on this earth. And so that's what I intercede for and I ask for. So praying with confidence, the series that we're going into, really is a series that I want to focus on intercession, a series that I want to focus on. What is this place that we're learning to agree with God, learning to be the go-between, learning to be the one who stands between heaven and earth and intercedes to bring the power and the presence of God to this earth? Because that's our jobs, right? We're ambassadors. We're supposed to be bringing something. We're supposed to be representing something. You know, every ambassador that goes to every country, if they're ambassador from the U.S. and they end up in Australia, then as they're in Australia, this ambassador from the U.S. represents the U.S., represents whatever goodness we have, represents the goodness of the U.S., represents the goodwill of the United States, represents the president of the United States as they're in another country. And in the same way, we as ambassadors of Jesus, we represent him. And so we're bringing something to this earth. And my question is are we bringing it? Are we bringing it? Well, one way to bring it is to begin to pray and say, God, help me to bring this. God, I agree with you with what you want to bring to this place. So that's four aspects of effective intercessory prayer. Four aspects, and they're on your sheet that you have this morning, your worksheet. Four aspects of effective intercessory prayer. Number one, it's more about agreeing with God than it is about asking.
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I totally skipped that one. The top one is prayer is not a wishing relationship. It's a working relationship. And yes, the answers are on the bottom. Okay, I know how this works. Okay, so when I go to a meeting or I have a little worksheet like that, give me the answers. Give me all the answers. And I just write all the answers down. Now I can relax and listen. Some of you, you're like, no. I got to get every word when he says it. And then I'm going to fill it in. And that helps you to listen and pay attention. So I make it little at the bottom. Actually, I was going to make it even littler. Probably will the next week. Make like a four point. So you might have to get your glasses to see it. What's that? Oh, yeah. Does anybody have the handouts? Can somebody go get some worksheets and bring them in? Okay, good. Somebody bring Brad one. So the answers are on there, and expect them to get smaller every week. They'll be really tiny. So those of you that like the answers, you know, you're like me, we have to work for it. You got to work to cheat. So, all right, that's what it is. You're the ones that want to fill in all the answers first. You're the overachievers. I know you. I know who you are. You're like the ones that stress out. Okay, so the first one is prayer is not a wishing relationship. It's a working relationship. And then four aspects of effective intercessory prayer is that it's more about agreeing with God than it is about asking. This is just going to blow you out of the boat. Because we're taught from the little tiny age to just ask over and over and over again, and almost like we're going to the great Santa Claus in the sky. And so we're taught to ask. And the reality is that prayer, intercessory prayer specifically, is really more about agreeing with God than it is about asking. And so we think that prayer is really asking for things. And there's nothing wrong with asking from God. He's a good father. Just like the song that we sing, he's a good father. He is a good father. And we can ask him for things. We can ask him for, you know, maybe you need a new car. Maybe I just want a new car. And so he's a good father. That's not a problem with that. But when we start in prayer with simply asking, we start with our agenda. Okay? But when we agree with God about what his purposes are, his plans, his will, then we're starting with God's agenda. Okay? There's a big difference between the two. One is I start with my agenda, my wish list. When I was a kid, we used to get out the Sears catalog. Some of you remember that. We would get out the Sears catalog and mark that sucker up. Those post-it notes went on all kinds of pages. Remember how thick the toy section was? It was awesome. It was I don't know where they got that thing or how they did it, but it was awesome. So the toy section was huge, and I'd mark it all up and make a wish list. Well, that's me starting with my agenda. And so in prayer, really the way that intercessory prayer works is really more me agreeing with God, and that's me starting with his agenda. So one of the most famous verses in the Bible, probably the most quoted verse of all times. wait a minute, did I skip something? I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. Oh, this then is how you should pray. So Jesus' disciples said, how do we pray? How do we do this thing called prayer? And they said, how do we pray, Jesus? Jesus answered and he said this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so often in the church, we may quote that, or you may quote that in a prayer time of your own. And we simply like scan it, like just run through it really quick. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name of the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know? Give us daily bread. You know, and then we just rip through the thing. And we think since we said the magic words, well, that it's all good. It's all good now, right? Well, we have to see, we have to kind of dissect it a little bit and say, well, what's actually happening here? And so the first part, our Father in heaven, there's simply a recognition that God is who God says that he is. And he's really holy. Holy is your name. Then the next part is all about agreement. It's really all about us agreeing with what God wants to do. And it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, most of the time when we pray, we kind of have my kingdom come, my will be done, right? We do so often. That's the wish list. But instead, Jesus says, no, there's a whole nother way of agreeing with the Father. And if you can agree with him, then you're going to see incredible power in your life, and you're going to see things manifest in your life that you're agreeing with. Because God generally works through agreement. I'll share that with you and show you some more of that in a minute. But he says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, which is all about God's authority, his rulership coming, and his will being done. Okay? So that's the agreeing part. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now the very next sentence is what? Give us our daily bread. There's the asking part, right? So first there's an agreement that says, God, this is all about you. It's your kingdom. It's your rulership. It's all that your authority that I'm asking that this is displayed. And I'm asking that your will is done. Oh, and by the way, I'd really like to get a hamburger and some fries today. You think you could work that out for me? Give me some bread. You know, help. Would you take care of the supplies of my day? The needs that I have? The real needs that I have. And so the asking comes in. But again, it's putting priority on God's agenda. And then we can tack on our agenda to that much of the time. But God's agenda always comes first. And so I ask you, in your prayer times, are you praying God's agenda first? Are you praying his agenda first? And then waiting for your asking to come in a little bit later on. Well, you may ask this question, and many people do. They say, well, what's the point of prayer anyway? Because if God's will is his will and he wants to accomplish things on the earth, why doesn't he just do it? Since, you know, God, since you're all powerful and you hold everything in your hands and you already know your will, well, then why don't you just do your will? Well, as I told you earlier, much of it is about relationship, but also God works primarily on this earth through agreement. He uses people. That's the plan of God from the very beginning. It was about people. It was about humanity. God working in partnership with humanity. He doesn't have to. He doesn't need to, but he wants to. It's the way that the very universe is held in place that God says, I'm going to hold this thing in place and then I'm going to allow you to have dominion over this place because we're going to partner together in this world together. You go, wow. So prayer is a lot bigger than just, you know, just saying something. It's much bigger than just assuming that, well, God, you could just do it anyway without me. God says, I don't want to do it without you. I could have done it without you a long time ago, right? He could have done it without us, but he decided, for God so loved the world that he created this world, and for God so loved that he sent his only son, for God so loved the world, that's all the people of the world, all of humanity, all of his creation. He doesn't want to do it alone. So the stuff of God that happens on this earth, much of it happens through our agreement. I would even tend to argue that most of it happens through our agreement. And this is why I say that, is that you and me, you and I, whatever the right tense is, we are very familiar with agreement. You don't realize, and I don't realize, how familiar we are with agreeing with something and seeing those things take place in our life. You have no idea. I have no idea much of the time. And it goes like this. There's an enemy that he wants his will to come. He wants his kingdom to be expanded across the earth. He wants you to pray this, in other words, to him, you know, your will be done, your kingdom come. And so often, you know what we do? We agree with the enemy so often in our lives. And we tend not to agree with the things that God has said, the promises that God has spoken to us, or the things that God wants to do in our lives. And it might be any kind of sin in our lives. And the enemy has convinced you, wow, this looks really good. This tastes really good. If you go over here, you're going to enjoy this a lot. And then what do? We agree with it by participating in it. And so we're very, very familiar with agreement. It might be addictions that are in our life. It might be feeling as though maybe you're insignificant. The enemy has lied to you, and he spoke this incredible promise to you, this amazing, incredible promise that you're stupid and you're insignificant. Isn't that horrible? I mean, even just to say it, it feels horrible to say that. But that's how ruthless the enemy is, and he speaks that promise over you because that's the promise of the enemy. That you're stupid and insignificant. And then what happens is we agree with that promise that the enemy has spoken over us. I go, oh, maybe I'll never, you know, really amount to anything. Oh, there's another one of those promises that the enemy has spoken to you. Maybe nobody really likes you. Maybe you don't really fit in. See, those are the promises of the enemy, and he's got hundreds of them, hundreds of promises that he speaks to you, and he spoke to you from the very day you were born. He speaks them over and over and over and over again, and we agree with them over and over again. And the only thing I can say to myself is, you know, some words from a wise man, Pastor Bob, stop it. Really? Stop it. Stop agreeing with the enemy and start agreeing with what God says. Even if you don't really believe it, you can start agreeing with it. Because if you begin agreeing with it, you know what will happen? You'll start believing it. Agree that you are an incredible, amazing daughter of God. That you're an incredible, amazing son of God. That Jesus is just enamored with you. It's like he gets near the It's like a father. You know, when you have a baby, you just go in the crib. You don't go in the crib. You might go in the crib, but you look in the crib at least. You look in the crib and you see the baby and you're just like this, you know, doting father over this baby. And you just go, oh, I love my child. I love my child. You know, and when they sleep, you just watch them sleep and you're like, wow, they're just so peaceful. And their eyes are just the way their eyes shut. They have not a care in the world. And you just love your child. That's the way God loves you. What about proclaiming that over your life? What about saying, I am absolutely awesome because Jesus says I am. I am absolutely incredible because you are. You're absolutely incredible. You know what God shows you from the foundations of the earth to love you and to die for you and to wipe away all your sin so you could be clean and white and pure and you can stand before him. And then he anticipated the hope that was before him because of you, that one day the hope that you'll celebrate with him for all of eternity. And so he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him because of you. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And that joy that's before him is you and me. The joy of celebrating as a family together. So it's really more about agreeing than it is about asking. Let me tell you a quick story. I'm not going to get to all the points today, so I just want to let you know. Let me tell you a quick story. You know the Christmas story. Mary, an example of just agreeing. The reality is that, let me back up a little bit. The stakes of this message are huge for you. They are huge for you. That if we will learn to be a people that agree with God, we'll be so different. In our church will be absolutely different than even what you see right now if we learn to agree with God. In so many areas of our own personal lives, in regards to our church, in regards to the purposes of our church, in regards to the future of our church, if we will learn to agree with God and begin to walk out God's purposes and plans and the good things that he has planned for you individually and for us corporately. So let me tell you a story, the Christmas story. Remember an angel, the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, Mary, hold on, Mary. There's going to be a crazy, crazy miracle. You're going to have a child. And she, at that point, is like, what? You know, what? You know, she was a young girl. She said, I've never been with a man. How could this even be possible? And the angel says that, you know, don't worry. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you know, you're then going to have this baby in you. And can I have the next verse? I think it's in Luke. And he goes on to say this. The angel says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. So imagine, you know, the angel saying, hey, you're going to have a baby. She's saying, I've never been with a man. This is crazy. This is, you know, I don't know about this. But she says to the angel, and really this was the release that happened. The release of heaven from earth is in the statement when she said this. Mary says, let it be done. That's the first part of it. But really it's as simple as that. Let it be done. Because God had already spoke the promise. She already knew what God's will was. She had already experienced the power of God's word. See, God's word is not just, they're just not words on paper. It's not just words that he whispers into you, your ear. But the word of God is incredible and it's powerful. And it changes nations and it changes people. And it changes the environment, the very word of God spoken. And that's why every time when I speak, I say, God, this is a place of of incredible responsibility to be right here, because when I'm speaking, God, I'm asking that you would use me as just a voice of your throne room. That when your words are spoken, God, that they have power, not to just change our intellect, but it changes our very spirit and it changes our soul. That the words themselves actually change us, because God is incredible. And so she says, okay, let it be done to me according to what you have said. And this is the statement of agreement. And guess what? She probably didn't plan this for her future. This was not her original plan set in motion, right? But she was still in agreement with God, even though she didn't understand it. There was no way she could understand what was about to take place. There was no way that she could understand that the Messiah, that she would literally give birth to the Messiah, and the Messiah would change the entire world. And the Messiah would redeem the world for himself. But this was the plan of God. And she says, okay, I'm going to agree with that plan, even though it scares the living life out of me. I'm going to agree with my plan, with that plan. My plan was this. There's this cute boy. His name is Joseph. He's got muscles because he's a carpenter, you know, so he works a lot with tools. And man, when he lifts those tables, his muscles bulge. Man, he's got that rippled stomach, you know, he's got it. He doesn't have a six pack. He's got the eight pack thing going, you know. That's Joe. There's this cute guy. My plan was to marry him for us to live a really wonderful life together and us to get married. And then, you know, probably a year later, maybe we're going to have our first baby. This was not her plan. What the angel said, but she said, you know what? Because I trust God. Because I trust the power of God and the purposes of God, that I'm going to agree with him. See, this is what... Oh, let me tell you this. I forgot what I wrote here. And man, did I write some cool stuff. I'm just going to read it to you. Mary said, "Let it be done to me according to what he has said." Then she heard the word of the Lord and agreed. And at that moment, that's when the miracle took place. It didn't become visible to the world, though, for the next 9 months, but it released the power of God immediately in her world. Okay, so just because you agree with God doesn't mean it's going to happen right now, right? You can't name it and claim it right now. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you pray for the sick and they're made well immediately. Immediately. You're agreeing with the plan of God. God's plan is for healing, wholeness, and people to be set free. That is the plan of God. There is no other plan. The question is, are they going to be set free now and healed now? Are they going to be set free next week? Are they going to be set free on the other side? They will be healed. But his word says to pray for the sick. Lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. And so we're believing for that. We're agreeing for that. I mean, we're agreeing with God about that. And so, but at the same time, as we agree with him, sometimes there's a development process. She had a development process. The baby had to develop, right? There was those 9 months of developing that had to take place. And so the same with us. Many times as we agree with God, there's still the development process that we have to wait. And I'll share more about that with you next week. All right, why don't you stand? Now, there's a few things I want to do this morning. That's why I wanted to leave it just a little bit of time. I wanted to allow us to actually pray. What a novel idea, huh? We talk about it and then we do it. How often do we go to church and we talk about stuff and then we talk about it and we talk about it again and then we talk about it and then let's talk about it one more time and then we're going to have a class to talk about it, an equipping class, and then I'm going to send you a blog about talking about it. So we talk a lot, right? We talk a lot about it. So I thought, you know what? Let's be a little novel today and let's actually pray. So what I'm going to ask first off, and no one's going to get out of this, I know that's going to make some of you feel awkward, but that's okay. You're followers of Jesus. And so first off, is there anybody that's sick this morning? You can be sick. You need healing and whatever. It can be you have backaches. You got knee stuff. You got high blood pressure. You got, you're just feeling gross. You know, whatever. Okay, raise your hand. Come on. Don't be babies. Come on. Raise your hand. There's lots of you. Daryl, I know your back hurts. Raise your hand. Okay, who else? Who else is there? Okay. Yeah, we can do that. This is not going to be, you're not going to be afraid. This is not going to freak you out. Who else? James? Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, anybody else? Come on. I know there's more sick in here than that. Okay, so now what I want you to do is I want three people to gather around those sick people, okay? Three people, only three to gather around those sick people. So raise your hand again, whoever had sick knees, backs, joints, whatever, headaches, anything at all, okay? Anything at all. Three people, just gather around them. Don't be afraid. Come on, I'm going to walk you through this. We talked about prayer, right? Now we're just going to pray. Okay, we need some people up here with Suzanne. Suzanne doesn't have anybody to pray for her. She's sad and lonely right now. So I don't want her to be sad or lonely. There we go. Okay, anybody else that has their hand up that didn't have somebody come around? Okay, James. James is back here. Don't want James to feel left out. Okay, a couple people back with James. Okay, a couple more. John, you're only one. Okay, two more. Anybody else? Want to go over there? Come on. Okay, the rest of you aren't going to get out of this, so don't worry. Okay, so now those of you that have the sick person, whatever it is, just be there with them. Okay, the rest of you, I want you to break in groups of three. Okay, groups of three. Anybody that's left, break into a group of three. So no one is left alone. Groups of three, it makes you feel awkward, but you're a follower of Jesus, and we're going to learn to pray. Okay, this is real practical. Okay, so you guys are together?
Yeah.
Okay. Girls, you're together? Okay, good. Okay, groups of three. Okay, good. Okay, so now what you're going to do, okay, so the groups that have someone who's sick, they have an ailment of some kind, someone in the group, what I've done here, I just want you to ask them what's wrong with them. This is very simple. Just ask them what's wrong with them, whatever it might be, a knee or whatever. And then what I want you to do is I want you to lay hands on them. And then I want you to agree with Jesus. Okay, Jesus said that we would lay hands on the sick and we would see them be made well, right? So it's not your job to heal someone. You need to know that. A lot of people won't pray for the sick because they're like, I failed. It didn't happen. Who cares? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. Your job is to agree with Jesus, to pray for healing. And so we pray, and then we keep on praying. We pray again, and we pray again. Okay, so if the person's sick, ask them what their issue is, and then you can pray with them about that. Okay, be sure to lay hands on them and agree with healing in Jesus' name. Okay, the rest of you, the groups of three, I want to ask you to pray specifically for Pastor Bob, for his pneumonia, that he's healed and set free of that. And Vicky, Pastor Bob's wife, she's suffering some pretty incredible knee stuff right now and some shoulder stuff and just stuff. So you're going to pray for Pastor Bob and Vicky. And there was something else. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Eric and Teresa, pray for them that they just stay safe as they travel across the nation. Okay. So again, this is not scary. This is us just praying, right? We're just praying. It's okay. Okay. Ready? Break. All right, so as you wrap it up, I just want to make a declaration over all of you this morning. Whatever you're agreeing with this morning, whatever you're agreeing with, I want to declare the words of Mary. Let it be done. Whatever you're agreeing with. Okay, would you say that with me? That were the words of Mary. She made a declaration about Jesus. About her being the carrier of Jesus. We want to agree with that. Okay, so would you say with me, let it be done. Whatever situation, whatever healing, whatever finances you need, whatever situation that you find yourself in. Let's say it again. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, according to his will, according to his power and his purposes. Amen. Amen. You know what amen means? It means I agree. That's what it means. It means I agree. That's why at the end of our prayers we say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I agree. Because we're supposed to be praying the purposes and will of Jesus, right? So Jesus, amen, or I agree. All right, as you go this morning, I want to just highlight a couple things before you go. One is our prayer guide. This prayer guide right here. Be sure that you get one of these as you go today. It'll have all the PowerPoints, or the prayer points, as you pray with us each day. The next one is a prayer declaration. Okay, prayer declarations. I didn't really get to explain this, and we'll get to this next week. But if you want to pick one of these up today, they're available out there also. These are basically the promises of Jesus, the words of Scripture that you can agree with, that you can make declarations about. All right? So then there's also the blog. If you haven't got on the website or the Facebook site, get on there. If you're not on the Facebook site, please let someone know so they can let you on. They can get you into the private one, but we also have a public Facebook. So we have both. We have a public Facebook, private Facebook. And then there's one other thing. I can't remember what it is. There's the blog. There's this. There's that. I don't know what other tools we've given to you. There's one more, and I don't know what it was. But anyway, use all the tools to help you to begin to enter into prayer this month and agreeing with God's purposes, God's plans for you and for those around you. Okay? All right, let me pray as we go. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do say, let it be done. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Let it be done. And I just pray that your goodness and your grace and your peace and your kingdom rulership would rest on every person in this room. And as we go from these doors, that we take your rulership in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you guys.